Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the River of Wisdom. A time-sensitive announcement. The fourth edition of the Vedic Wisdom Festival is here, presented by Arshavidya Foundation. This time, it is a two-day virtual global festival, which will be on Zoom on 11th and 12th of December 2021. And so we invite people from across the world to join us live. There are 2 days of curated talks by different masters covering the glory of Vedic wisdom. The topics range from mental health and Ayurveda, how Vedanta works, the glory of temples, yoga for Vedanta, the greatness of Sanskrit, learning for life from the Bhagavad Gita, Kalaripayattu, which is an ancient Indian martial art, and much, much more. So check out www.vedicwisdomfestival.in and register. And you can find the details on the website, the link of which is present in the description of this episode. Kay, a 34-year-old, asked me, "I feel like such a misfit in this world. How to live in a materialistic world?" He was referring to being materialistic as being overly concerned or preoccupied with material possessions rather than with intellectual or spiritual aspects of life. The Vedic vision considers artha, the pursuit of security through wealth, property, and things, as a valid pursuit. Nothing wrong with that. However, people who are preoccupied with materialism seek to fill up their lives with things for comfort, pleasure, and happiness. They believe that money can buy everything and are willing to cut corners without much attention to dharma. If we are given to being materialistic, then our feelings of security and personal worth are determined only by our net worth. We're always angry with unexpected expenses, including growing family expenses, as it interferes with our savings and our plans for growing our money. Both personally and professionally, we seek to meet only those people who can grow and help invest our money. The yardstick for success is the more things we have, the more secure we are. By the way, all of us have overflowing wardrobes and kitchen cabinets with clothes and things that we do not use and have accumulated. We are reluctant to give these away because material makes us happy. Not for too long though. Some more material must be bought. And our journey with materialism goes on. The question is, where does our preoccupation with material come from? From materialism, which is a branch of philosophy. Most of you say, "But I've not studied that." It does not matter, pun intended. Materialism is the philosophical belief that the building block of the world is material. Even consciousness or life are the results of actions by material. How do we see ourselves? As body? That's material. As the mind? That too is subtle material. Are we the sum total of our experiences? That is also materialism. A school of thought called Charvaka summarizes this philosophy well. Yavat jivet sukham jivet, rinam kritva ghritam pibet. As long as you live, live in comfort and luxury. Having incurred debt and experiencing the fine things of life, like ghee, bhasmi bhutasya dehasya punaragamanam kutaha. The body is going to return to ashes anyway, and there is no returning, i.e. reincarnation. So therefore, what matters is comfort and luxury, and it's okay to also go against dharma, because you have only one life. So eat, drink and be merry is the simplistic explanation of this Charvaka philosophy, which is based on materialism and is something that most people swear by. The Charvaka philosophy rejects the idea of God, an afterlife, moksha, or even the framework of karma. Now, when you think of yourself as merely a body-mind-sense complex, then you focus on yourself as material interacting with the world, which is also material, correct? Since our focus is on matter or material interacting with each other, we begin to experience separation. All material interacts with each other in space and time. I am person A in place 1, and I want to meet you, person B, in place 2. There is you out there and there is me here. Different material separated by space and time. I am seeking to find a connection with you because I feel separate from you physically. If you look a little different than me, your color is different, the kind of clothes you wear are different, I experience more separation. And then the moment I notice something really beautiful which I don't have, I again experience separation and lack. Lack is only from the standpoint of the material. Every day we experience things coming together and moving apart in our three-dimensional world where material seems to be the defining reality. By that definition, all of us are materialistic, isn't it? Our delight at acquiring something, our sorrow at parting, our anxiety about death of the body are based on taking material as real. Material seems to give meaning to our lives. Bhagavan Krishna in chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita speaks about some characteristics of people who have unbecoming dispositions or who are asura-like. Chintam aparimeyam cha pralayatam upashritaha kamo pabhoga parama etavaditi nischitaha asha pashashatair baddhaha kama krodha parayanaha ihante kama bhogartham anyayenartha sanchayan. Those who are committed to immeasurable concern until death, intent upon enjoyment of objects of desire, who have concluded life is this much alone, are committed to desire and anger. They are bound by fetters of hope. They engage themselves in the illegitimate accumulation of wealth for the enjoyment of objects of desire. As we can see, being an asura, a person given to adharma, is not characterized by a scary appearance with protruding teeth, but a person who uses all her thinking to acquire more wealth and more pleasure, and for whom material is the only reality. The great blessing of the mind is not used to discover the limitless reality of who she is. So if we go by perception alone, then yes, material is the building block of the world we experience. But then the Veda comes along as an independent and valid means of knowledge that tells us what is beyond perception and in the realms of other dimensions and subtle matter. The Veda reveals Dharma to be the universal framework of values such as balance, kindness, justice, compassion, contribution, which are not material and yet make us happy. The Vedas reveal that the individual goes from lifetime to lifetime depending on his karma. The jiva will survive death and may travel to different realms of experience and dimensions called lokas, which include swarga. The Vedas reveal that the framework of karma and the choices we have made across lifetimes accrue as punya and papa, which further transform into sukha and dukkha, happiness and sorrow. The Vedas reveal that all material that this multiverse is made up of is really Bhagavan himself. To illustrate this, some beautiful examples are given in the Mundaka Upanishad. Yathornanabhisrijate grinhate cha yatha prithivyam oshadhaya sambhavanti yatha satav purushat keshalomadi tataksharat sambhavati havishvam. Just as the spider creates and withdraws its web, just as trees are born on the earth, just as the hair of the head and the body grow from a living person, in the same manner, the universe is born here out of Brahman, the reality. Now, did the spider go shopping for material to build its web? No. Did the spider go to university to study architecture? No. Both the intelligence and the material to create came from one unitary source alone, which was the spider. So this example helps us appreciate that both the material and the intelligence for the web came from the spider. Hair and nails, which are inert, emerge from a living person, which suggests that something inert can come from a conscious being. Although hair is an important part of our appearance, we never say that we are going for hair surgery. We can cut, shape, style, gel, and curl our hair only because it is inert and yet a part of us. Living plants shoot up from the earth that is seemingly inert. In the same way, the material of this universe, which may be conscious or inert, has come from Bhagavan himself. There is an intelligence in the way the material is organized too. The planets spinning at great speeds are held in orbit. They don't fall off. There is enough food for all beings, whether they are herbivorous, carnivorous, or omnivorous. The plants can generate their own food. Any process or anything that you observe in nature has been put together intelligently. The intelligence is not a function or property of the material, because something inert cannot rearrange itself. Intelligence always rests in a conscious being. And this being is Bhagavan, who is beyond space and time. When we see our connection to Bhagavan, we feel connected to something greater than material. We're no longer functioning as matter trying to change matter. Because when we are living as matter or material, trying to change matter or material, we try to force and control outcomes in our lives. When we see our connection to Bhagavan, we begin to trust outcomes and are not threatened by change in material. We become a little less materialistic. Further, living in a world that is made up of material is not a problem. Why? Because we see that all forms are sacred. Bhagavan being the unitary source of both the intelligence and the material sanctifies all material, starting with the Panchamahabhutas, that is Akasha, space, Apa, water, Vayu, air, Agni, fire, and Prithivi, earth. All forms are sacred, from subtle to gross, all the way to its many modifications, such as our bodies, our minds, the trees, the rivers, the mountains, and so on. So we can live in a material-based world knowing that it is Bhagavan's manifestation and there is nothing to be rejected. When we witness our bodies, we see that we are other than the material the body is made up of. If we were merely our bodies, we would not be able to objectify them. When we witness our thoughts, emotions, and memories, we see that we are other than the mind. If we were indeed our minds, we would not be able to objectify our minds either. By witnessing with neutrality, we drop our identification with material that seems to limit us. If we can pick up and drop our identification with material, including our body, then is material our defining reality? How can living in the materialistic world be a problem if you are living as pure being having a human experience? You pervade matter and yet are always free of matter. And that's all that matters. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. If you found this episode helpful and offering insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with friends, family, and on social media. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.